Okay, the Nevi Chaim over here in Perek Ches really discusses or gets involved in a discussion that I think is of imminent importance with regards to the dilemma between working versus learning, and he engages in a discussion that's also discussed by the Brisker Rav, and maybe we'll get involved in it. But before he gets to that, he discusses the nature of the kruvim that were on the top of the yaron. And we were discussing until now that a person, through his own actions, has the ability to affect the physical world, the spiritual world, and to determine the kind of relationship that he'll have with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So if a person turns towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he'll have that kind of close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he turns away, he'll have a distant relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And he is explaining that this is reflected in the direction of the Kruvim on the top of the Aron. The Gemara Bava Basra in Daf Tzadi Tesim et Alf quotes a stira between two psukim. On the one hand, the Pasuk describes the Kruvim on the top of the Aron as Ufneim Isho Achiv. That's the Pasuk in Parshas Kisisa. However, there's a Pasuk in Sefer Divrei Hayomim that tells us, with at least with regards to the Kruvim of Shlomo HaMelech, that they were Pneim Labayas. Not the ones of Moshe Rabbeinu, but at least in the Beis Hamikdash of Shlomo HaMelech, it was Ufneim Labayas. They were facing towards the external walls of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara asks Akasha, which was, stira, contradiction, which was it? Were they facing each other? Were they facing away? And the Gemara quotes Machlokes in Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. One said they were facing primarily, their initial posture was facing towards each other. But that's only Bizmancha Oisin Ratzon HaShomokon. When they're following in the ways or the expectations of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Bizmancha Ein Oisin Ratzon HaShomokon. They're further, they're more distant. They're ignoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectations, then the Kruvim would miraculously flip around and face the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. That's one opinion in the Gemara. But of course, the Kruvim either way are a reflection of our attitude, our posture, our commitment to the Torah and the Mitzvahs, and we have the ability, therefore, to determine what our relationship will be with the Ribbono Shel Olam. One of the Kruvim, of course, signifies Klal Yisrael, the other signifies the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the two together represent our relationship, and their direction is a reflection or a manifestation of the kind of relationship we want to have with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's important to mention that Gemara says in Masechtas Yuma, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Aleph, that at the time that they came into the Beis HaMikdash, the time Umos HaOlam came into the Beis HaMikdash to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, so they walked into the Kodesh HaKadosh and they saw the Aron with the Kruvim embracing one another. So the Rishayim and Baba Basra and the Shittim Kubetzes asked, one minute, the time of the Korban Beis HaMikdash is clearly a time of Ein Oisim Rechano Shalmakum. They're not fulfilling the rites and the expectations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And nonetheless, when they came in to see to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, the Umos HaOlam saw that the Kruvim were embracing one another, and that's why the pasuk means in Megillas Eicha, Ki Ro Ervasa, that they saw our embrace, they saw our intimate relation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and at the time of the Korban Beis HaMikdash, what did they see? They saw the Kruvim embracing. But why were the Kruvim embracing if it was a time of Ein Oisim Ratzono Shamakom, the time of Korban Beis HaMikdash? Tzadik has one comment in his where is it? It's in his Mamorim on Parashas Shmos in Chodesh Adar, where he explains that it's because when the Jews saw the Beis HaMikdash happening, the Nevi'im were warning against it for many years, and they never thought it would actually happen. And then all of a sudden, the Korban Beis HaMikdash started. And they're like, oh my gosh, we can't believe this is happening. And they began to do tshuva. Initially, they were just ignoring the Nevi'im because they thought they were, they were talking about things that would never actually occur. And they procrastinated, they pushed it off. But then when they saw Korban Beis HaMikdash happening, they decided to repent. So at the time of Korban Beis HaMikdash, they were actually in a state of, ironically, in a state of Oisim Ratzon HaShomakom. One minute, if that's the case, why wasn't that able to forestall, to delay the Korban, or to push off entirely the Korban Beis HaMikdash? Rav Tzadik explains tragically that it's because it was too late. You have the opportunity to do tshuva before the Korban Beis HaMikdash starts. Once the Korban Beis HaMikdash starts, we could do all the tshuva we want. It won't be able to turn back what's already been triggered. Ironically, that's why as well, right, the Nihuge Avelos continue to intensify throughout the period of the 3 weeks. You have the 3 weeks has certain restrictions, then the 9 days, has other restrictions. Once was Chodesh Av hits, Sfardim, Ashkenazim, different practices. But then you get to the night and the morning of Tisha B'Av, and the Avelus is most intense and perhaps reflects or parallels that of Shiva. The 3 weeks perhaps corresponds to your base Chodesh, the 9 days to Shloishim. Tisha B'Av corresponds to Shiva, and things keep getting more and more intense. But then all of a sudden, after Chatzos Hayom and Tisha B'Av, the trend reverses itself. And now all of a sudden, instead of continuing to intensify, it begins to relax and it begins to dissipate. And now we're allowed to sit on chairs and turn on the lights. And if a person needs to go to work, he's allowed to go to work in the middle of the day of Tisha B'Av. Why do some of the restrictions, people often think you're allowed to learn Torah after the day, midday on Tisha B'Av, and that's absolutely not true. You're not allowed to learn Torah till the end of the day. But why is it that some of the restrictions begin to relax after Chatzos Hayom on Tisha B'Av? In fact, things should have gotten worse. The Gemara says in Masechtas Tainis that the main part of the Beis Hamikdash really burned at the end of the day on Tisha B'Av. In fact, one of the Tanoim says, if I would have been there at the time of the Korban Beis Hamikdash, I would have, or when they were establishing Tisha B'Av, I would have established it to be on Siri B'Av, because that's in the 10th of Av. That's when the Beis Hamikdash really began to burn most intensely. So if that's the case, that it really began to burn towards the end of the day of Tisha B'Av, carrying over to the 10th of Tisha B'Av, why is it that the Avelos practices begin to dissipate or begin to diminish instead of furthering to intensify? So perhaps, according to Reb Tzadok, we could suggest that it's because Klal Yisrael began to do tshuva. Chatzos Hayom and Tisha B'Av, they saw, oh my gosh, this is really happening. And, you know, the rubber hit the pavement, as they say. And therefore they decided, wow, it's time to do tshuva, but it's too late. It was too late to stop the entire thing, but in the end of the day, since they began to do tshuva, the Avelos practices, at least a reflection of that, begin to dissipate and relax. The Klal Yisrael at that point did tshuva. So maybe that's why at the time of Korban Beis Hamikdash they were embracing, because Klal Yisrael already began to do tshuva at that point. However, the Shita Mekubetzes, who asked this question about Baba Basra, gives a different answer. He says that it's because a person could come close to the Ribbono Shel Olam either at a time of great simcha, when things are, you know, are when he's oisim ritzono shel malkam, but even when a person is ein oisim ritzono shel malkam, and chas v'shalom lo yaleinu, when Kadosh Baruch Hu is demonstrating hester panim towards him, or he's distancing himself from him, the punishment itself is a manifestation of the love and the affection and the emunah that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has in our potential and our relationship to ultimately return. So the Shita Mekubetzes says, very powerful idea, that the Korban Beis Hamikdash itself was an expression of love of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that he didn't take his anger out on us, it was only on the Eitzim V'Avanim of the Beis Hamikdash, and he destroyed the Beis Hamikdash to show us that he cares about us. And that's why it was a time really of Eisen, it wasn't a time of Eisen Ritzon Hashem Malkum, but nonetheless the Kruvim were embracing to show that the Korban Beis Hamikdash was itself a demonstration that the love of that the Ribbono Shel Olam has for us. And therefore there are many Mefarshim who say that if one looks at Jewish history, you know, the Jewish people, of course, the most persecuted nation throughout the history of the world, also the longest lasting, right? That's what Mark Twain commented upon, that we've managed to endure for all these generations. At the same time, we're also the most persecuted. We can't find, until recently, have never been able to find the homeland, and, we keep getting kicked out of one nation to the other nation, but that itself is perhaps a testament to the fact that Ribbono Shel Olam has emunah on us. Ribbono Shel Olam is expressing his love for us and hoping that we will continue to improve. You know, it can't be a coincidence, right, that the only place in the world, that's at least civilized, that one is not permitted to daven is the Har Habayis. You know, it can't be that's a coincidence, right? If you think about it, right, you could daven in Times Square. I don't know if you could daven in Red Square. But whatever. You can daven in most places in the world, or wherever you want. The one place where they mamish watch your lips and make sure you're not davening, at least until recently, was on the Har Habayis, which is Haloi Davarhu. I mean, how ironic could that be? Other than the fact, it must be, that it's a testament to the fact that Ribbono Shel Olam loves us and believes in us, and that's why the Korban Beis Hamikdash itself was perhaps a time of Ruuchi Baschem, Lefnei HaMakom, was a time that Kadosh Baruch Hu was expressing his affection for us. This is a concept that Beis HaLevi develops in one of his drushas. We mentioned recently that he has, the Beis HaLevi, the end of Shalos HaTshuvos, Beis HaLevi has 18 drushas, the 18th of which is the most famous. But in the 8th drusha, so many of them are such fundamental principles of our Hashkafa. So in the 8th drush of the Beis HaLevi, it's 2 pages, you could read it, it's fantastic, not that he needs my haskama. But he comments on the last Gemara Masechtas Makis, where the Gemara says, the famous Maaseh of Rabbi Akiva and the other Tanam who were strolling through the Beis HaMikdash, the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the ruins of the Beis HaMikdash, and they saw a fox running out of the Beis HaMikdash, and out of the ruins, and all the Tanam began to cry, and Rabbi Akiva began to laugh. they said to him, you know, they're crying because, you know, look how low we fall, and Rabbi Akiva is laughing. And of course, this is another instance where Rabbi Akiva shows us his unyielding optimism, which is a running theme with regards to Rabbi Akiva, which we don't have time to develop now. But other than just his optimism, Rabbi Akiva explains, they ask him, why are you laughing? And he says, you know, it's a fulfillment of the nevuah of Shualim Ha'chuba, so that, you know, foxes will walk through it. So that's why the rest of them are crying, but Rabbi Akiva is laughing. And why is he laughing? Because he says, if that nevuah will come true of Shualim Ha'chuba, that foxes will walk through it, then Od Yeshu Zekein, the other nevuah of Zechariah, of Od Yeshu Zekein Zekeinus B'Shar Yerushalayim will also come true, that there will be a time that the elderly Jews will be strong in the streets of Yerushalayim, will also come true as well. So the Beis Halevi asks, how did he know one was contingent upon the other? How did he know that just because foxes were going to walk through the Beis HaMikdash and that nevuah would be fulfilled, that the other nevuah inevitably had to be fulfilled as well? How did one show the other? And the Beis Halevi explains that it's because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us, that's also a sign that he has affection for us, that he loves us, that he believes in us, and he wants us to come back. So when Rabbi Akiva saw that Eretz Yisrael was lying fallow, and the Beis HaLevi puts into context at least what was contemporary in his time, that Eretz Yisrael itself was a barren, almost unproductive land. You weren't able to grow things there for generations, for years, for decades, for centuries, while the Jews weren't living there. That itself was a testament to the facts as the Beis HaLevi. I'm sure you've heard this in other contexts. That was a testament to the fact that Ribbono Shel Olam was waiting for us to come back. So the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us, and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes Eretz Yisrael remain fallow as long as the Jews aren't there, it demonstrates Hashem is waiting for us. He wants us. He hasn't given up hope on us. And that's why the Beis HaLevi says that Rabbi Akiva knew that if the nevuah of punishment was fulfilled, that inevitably the nevuah of the Yeshua, of the salvation, of the Geula, would also be fulfilled. It really traces its way all the way back, though, to a Gemara in Ksubis, also the time of Chorban Beis HaMikdash, with the daughter of Nachman Ben Gurion. Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai was walking along after Chorban Beis HaMikdash, and he saw a woman picking barley out of the dung, the excrement of the animals of the Arabs. And he says to her, Bas Miat, who are you? She said, I'm the daughter of Nachman Ben Gurion. And he said, oh my gosh, look how far we've fallen. Ashreichem Yisrael. How great is Kal Yisrael at the time that we're doing the Rotzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? No one can touch us. We're handed over to the lowliest of all the nations, and not only that, to the behemton shel umashvelo, to the animals of the umashvelo, the lowest of all nations. Gemara in Ksubis and Daf Samach Vav. So the Mefarshim asks, what's the Ashreichem Yisrael? Ashreichem Yisrael, praiseworthy is Kal Yisrael, when we do Ritzon Hashem Makom, no one can touch us. What's the Ashreichem Yisrael? Bizman She'eino is Ritzon Hashem Makom, when we don't do the Ritzon of Hashem, that, everyone, we're handed over even to the lowliest of the nations, and not only that, to the animals of the lowliest of all the nations. How is that Ashreichem Yisrael? And Rabbi Rapian quotes in the Sefer Le'Evelio from the Yaros Dvash, that it's because this, again, this relationship of, what we say in the Kinos, B'tzeisi Mi'ushalayim, the time of the Korban is the same as B'tzeisi Mi'mitzrayim. They're really two sides of the same coin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can fly high, B'tzeisi Mi'mitzrayim shows our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also B'tzeisi Mi'ushalayim, the time of Korban Beis HaMikdash, how low we can fall, lower than all the other nations, shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes in us, shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has affection for us, and he hopes that we'll ultimately return, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us in this unusual fashion. So perhaps that's what's reflected over here by the Kruvim, is that we can determine our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam at the time of Chorban Beis HaMikdash, but also a time of Ruchi Baskim of Ne'amakum. We could show our affection and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for us, but the Kruvim are a reflection of whatever attitude and posture we take towards the Ribbono Shel Olam, which shows us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mirror image of the way we conduct ourselves, is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond to us in kind. So what interests the Nefesh HaChaim more is the other opinion in the Gemara, which we'll have to get to next time, that they were facing diagonally. There's a third and a second opinion in the Gemara. Not that they were facing either, when they Hashem loved us, or facing towards each other, Hashem was upset with us, they were facing other way, away from each other. There's another opinion that we're facing diagonal constantly, which we'll have to, he thinks is quite significant as well. We'll get to that next time. All right, Chaim.